greet you. You may be seated. It's a new song for me, but I am enjoying it very much. I titled my message tonight, "It's Time to Move Forward." God wants to do a whole lot more with you folks yet. He wants to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ever ask or think. I hope that you're on a higher plane after these revival meetings than what you were when we started. The songwriter wrote the hymn, "I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground." We want to plant our feet on higher ground, and to in order to plant our feet on higher ground, we have to keep moving forward. I'm going to be giving an invitation at the end of this message, and if there's something that you are struggling with that is hindering you from moving forward, we want to get that out of your life so that you can move ahead, because God has so much for us. Philippians talk about reaching out. Folks, I come to the edge here, but when I'm reaching out, I'm reaching out as far as I can. I was watching two goats. They were on top of their goat house, I guess it was. And these goats were reaching out as far as they could reach out. Reach out. It's good to reach out, folks. And the Lord wants you to reach out tonight, okay? Because you don't have everything that He has for you. I don't have everything that He has for me, but He wants me to reach out and get a hold of it and see what God is going to do. But we want to reach out tonight. I remember a couple summers ago, I climbed a ladder and to get on the roof, I had to reach out. Okay, I had to reach out. And I reached out and the ladder stood there. But after I was on the roof, I couldn't get back off. Fortunately, I had my cell phone on me, and I called the school, and I said, "Could you please come and get me off the roof? I was reaching out, now I can't get off." Well, we want to reach out and get all that the Lord has for us. And remember, it's going to be exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ever ask or think. So I do want you to reach out. If you are stuck in the mud, I have an S10 pickup Chevy pickup truck, okay? And when that thing, when it snows, it don't have to snow much, and that pickup truck don't move off the spot. The wheels go around, and I don't go anywhere. And folks, there's a lot of people, their wheels are going around. They're like an S10 pickup truck. They are stuck on something that is so small. Many times we get stuck on things that are just so small, and all we need to do is clear it with the Lord. It's such a simple thing. I know I already got out of my pickup truck, and I looked around and said, "What is it that keeps this thing from not going?" It could be an inch of snow. That's how bad that thing is in the weather. I'll never forget. We went for a field trip, our school, and they had a park in fields. And so I said to the guy, just got done raining, that was parking vehicles. I said, "Look," I said, "it just rained last night." I said, I don't trust going in there." He said, "Go park." Well, all right. I go, and I got about as far as from here to the back of the church, and guess what happened? The bus went down in the mud. The wheels were spinning, and the bus was jumping. And there I was stuck. I couldn't move. And the more I spun my tires, the more the mud flew. Folks, the reason the mud flies so much in the church is because they're not moving forward. When you're stuck in the mud and the wheels are going around and the mud's flying. So I want to make sure, folks, I want you to keep on moving. Keep on moving. We might get stuck with that S10 pickup truck, but many times we get stuck spiritually as I said, something that is so small that I hope that you can get it out of your life tonight and to move forward. I don't like when things don't move forward and go the right way. Well, know the time. It's time. It's time to move forward. We are running out of time, folks. I believe that we are actually living in a state of emergency. There in the city, I'm so used to hearing sirens, I don't hear them half the time. But if the sirens get too close, I start paying attention. My brother Stanley. You know my brother Stanley? Anybody know my brother Stanley? Well, he's worse than me. No. My brother Stanley, okay? This is before he was married. He came home one evening at around 4 o'clock. And at 5 o'clock, he took a nap. He woke up at 6. This was in the evening. He woke up at 6, but he thought it was morning. So he gets up, and he sees my mother out in the garden, and he thought to himself, he got an early start. He's out in the garden already. Folks, it's important to know what time it is about moving forward. So he gets in his car and he goes off to work. And the farmer was sitting on the porch. And he thought, this is different. He's usually not sitting on the porch this time of the morning. And this was in the evening, now mind you. And so it started getting dark. And he thought a thunderstorm was coming up. I'm serious, he did. He thought a thunderstorm was coming up. So he goes around and starts shutting the doors, because it looked like it'd probably be a pretty bad one. And finally he realized, it was back when you could go and dial the operator. He went and dialed the operator and said, "Could you please tell me what time it is?" And she told him, he said, "AM or PM?" Folks, do you know the time is running out? Time is short. We're living in a state of emergency. And we want to do all we can, because the time is running out. It's no time to be stuck in the mud. It's no time to be stuck at the S10 pickup in the snow. It's not time, folks, to be caught spiritually unawares. Folks, we need to wake up. The Bible says it is high time to awake out of our sleep, for our salvation is nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off all works of darkness, and we need to put on the armor of light. We got to get our lights burning, folks. Get it burning. Turn it up. Make sure your light bulbs, make sure they're in, make sure they are working. So it's time to move forward. The Bible says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world." Folks, it's no time to love the world. If you love the world, you know what the Bible says? The love of the Father is not in you. So you can't love the world and you can't love God at the same time, folks. The world, if you're closer to the world today, then if you're closer to the world, well, what I'm trying to say, folks, is the world is going one direction. The world is going one direction. The world is going the other direction. And we are getting farther and farther apart every day, every week, every month, every year. We're getting farther and farther apart. The Christian life, folks, is not one that the church is going the same way the world is going, but they're just a little bit on behind. No. The world is going that way, folks, and we are going this way, so we're getting further and further from the world. As I told you before, and I'm going to tell you again, I wish you would understand, folks, that the world has nothing to offer us, nothing at all, nothing but misery, wretched. They're stuck in the mud, and they can't go. We want to make sure that we are getting more and more like Jesus. That's what I want to be, is to be getting more like him. So Hebrews 6:1 says, you need not to turn to this, because I'm going to just refer to it. It says, let us go on to perfection. So we want to move on. We don't want to lay our foundation again, okay? We are now born again. We love the Lord. We do get stuck in the mud sometimes, but we're going to get ourselves out of the mud tonight, okay? We're going to move on, and we're going to, as it says here, we're going to move on toward perfection. Now, we know we're never going to be perfect, but most of us could be just a little bit more perfect. But I want you to think. I want you to think, what is it in your life? I think before I go to Kings, I'm going to go to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. It says here in Hebrews chapter 12, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. That's what we want to do tonight, folks. We want to lay aside every weight, okay? And the sin which doth so easily beset us. Now, that every weight thing, brothers and sisters, is things that aren't necessarily wrong. But if you have too many pigs that you got to come to church late every time, then get rid of the pigs. Okay? These sins which doth so easily beset us. We don't want sins to easily beset us. It's good things. Fire is good, folks. But when fire is under control, like the house that just burned, it's no good. Water is something that is we all need. It's important. But when there's a flood, water's out of control. These sins that so easily beset us are things that might necessarily be wrong. But because they're taking precedence over serving God makes it a sin. What bothers me, you know, you ask some men to teach Sunday school, and they don't want to do it. They don't want to do it. But then they can talk about their pig for half an hour straight about what kind of, I don't know much about pigs, but I know a lot of farmers put a lot of time. I should, in case you have a home farmer here, excuse me, I don't want to just come down on you. But whatever it is, folks, it might be something good, but it's too much of it. Too much of it. And so some of these sins that so easily beset us. Now, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about, now skipping down a little bit again, which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. All right, running a race. When we run races at school, everybody's like this, and then the man holds the gun up, and we go, bang, they take off. Run the race, folks. The man is telling us it's time to run the race. All right? Or when we were little children, we'd say, get ready, on your mark, get set. You'd look if I take off running around this church. I won't do that. But get ready, on your mark, get set, go. It's time to go, folks. It really is. The time is here. As that verse I read, it is high time. And then notice what it says here. Looking unto our problems, looking unto Jesus. I'll tell you what, I'm so glad I have such a wonderful Jesus. My Jesus, that he says that you're to look at him. You're to look at Jesus tonight. Now, okay, we're going to look at him. He had a part in the creation. He's a source of life and life. He's the author of eternal salvation. He's the builder of the church. He forgives sins. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. He's my intercession. He's our King of Kings and he's Lord of Lords. That's who we're keeping our eye on, folks. We're running a race. Now we're going to keep our eye on him. He's our advocate at the throne. He will gather together his people at his second coming, and they will be with him forever. This is our Jesus. He's saying, as we run this race, he said, be careful. Let's run the race and keep our eyes on Jesus. Did you keep your eyes on Jesus today? Or is it only when you get in trouble? You heard about the guy that was sliding off the roof. It's an old time story. Anyhow, I'll give it anyhow. The guy was sliding off the roof, and he thought he's going to fall And he prayed, Lord, help me, Lord, help me. And just then he got caught in the nail. And the nail stopped him. And he said, forget it, Lord. I'm okay after all. You know, sometimes, folks, what we do is the only time we want to really look to Jesus is when we find ourselves in trouble. But it is a wonderful place to look. Hey, where else can I look? You know, of the world today, folks, I'm telling you, they don't know where to look. I know that when I get a toothache, okay, I know not to go to the plumber. I know that. And I know if I want to get a haircut, I go to my wonderful wife and she gives me a haircut. Folks, I'm going to tell you what. The world does not know where to go. They don't know. They're in trouble. They think, well, maybe alcohol will do it. So they drink alcohol. Maybe they think, oh, well, maybe smoking will do it. No, smoking won't do it. Yeah, I could go down the list. We want to look to Jesus. He is the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And as Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the throne of God, there he, you know what he's doing? He's praying for us, he's interceding for us, and he's saying to God, do you ever think that God and Moses, good they were never mad at the same time? You know what would have happened? They'd have destroyed things. But God would say to Moses, not be patient. And when it was the other way around, not be patient. Folks, let's be patient. Let's look to the Lord. And it says here, for consider him that endures such contradictions of sinners against himself, lest they be weary and faint in your mind. We don't want to faint, folks. We were just talking about that this evening. You know, it's not a beautiful picture when somebody's fainting. And we have a lot of fainters in the church. They're fainting right now. Yeah, they are. They're going out. I'll tell you this. My family faints very easy. And it's so disgusting, you know. But we faint easy. This guy came from Haiti. This Esh guy that came from Haiti that was shot down there came to our school and gave a testimony. My children are very, 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 very sympathetic, okay, I guess. Anyhow, he was telling us about this, and he was going into great detail. And all of a sudden, one of my granddaughters, boom, down on the floor she went, fainted. I go over to doctor her up, hear another granddaughter goes down, boom, on the floor, fainting. I look around and further, hear my son Brian was laying on the floor. I tell you what, folks, we have a lot of people that are laying on the floor that are fainting. They're fainting over things that aren't. Folks, don't faint. Look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Time is running out. I want you to move forward. Now let's go to 1 Kings chapter 18. First Kings chapter 18. And here it is about moving forward. The children of Israel, they weren't moving forward. And verse 18, and he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Are any of us forsaking the commandments of God? Are we forsaking the commandments of God? You know, it's a serious thing to forsake the commandments of God. We want to accept the commandments of God. It ought to be, folks, that I love the Lord so much that I don't want to sin. I want to obey the commandments of God. Well, here, what was happening? You know what? You don't fall overnight. Okay? I'm amazed, though, how fast the children of Israel fell. When Moses was up in the mountain for a couple weeks or whatever it was, and he comes down from the mountain, and here they made a molten a calf out of gold that they were worshiping. How fast can we fall, folks, from the commandments of God? We don't want to fall from the commandments of God. I have seen many people that have fallen from the commandments of God. We want to obey the commandments of God, whatever they may be. So he says here, how long is it now that you, how long is it in verse 21? And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long? Have you? Some of my Bible's missing. Okay. How long have you halt between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him. We're going to we should check your temperature tonight. Okay, you know how they stick that thing on your finger now that used to be? You had to open your mouth and close it for 3 minutes for them to tell how much of a temperature you have. Well, the Lord wants to check your temperature tonight, okay? If your temperature, he says, I would rather have you to be hot or cold, not lukewarm, okay? If you are lukewarm, do you know what he says? I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. You know what spew means out of your mouth? Vomit. I hate to clean up vomit. I drove a school bus for a number of years, and because one vomited, another one vomited, and another one, four of them vomited, and I had a terrible mess to clean it up. We have a lot of people, folks, in the church that are vomit, and we've got to clean them up. And it's not a whole lot of fun to clean up vomit, church people. We want to do what God wants us to do. Halt between two opinions. I always said, folks, lived in the city most of my life, ever since I was 18, 19 years old. And my, I was off to 1W service, and I came back. And the Lord spoke to my heart that I need to be willing to go and clean up vomit, even though as much as I hate it. Folks, we've got to clean it up. And as he says here now, how long are you going to halt between two opinions? I was always more fearful that I would lose my children from the hypocrite, lukewarm Christians than the fellows that lived and they mixed with in the city. Do you know? It's far dangerous to have a lukewarm person in your church than to have one guy come in that's a drunkard, he's a thief, whatever he may be. Brothers, sisters, let's not fall. Let's not land up in the blue, in the lukewarm position, but let us be hot for the Lord. How long halt ye between these two opinions? If God is God, folks, I'm saying this to you. If God is God, then follow Him. If you want to serve the world, go serve the world. Don't take others with you. God is going to hold you responsible. Well, it says, how long halt you here between two opinions? Verse 21. And we know the story of all the 450 men that came out. And they decided what they're going to do to see who the true God really is. Because they were halting between these two opinions. And what I was saying here just a minute ago, you don't fall sinful overnight. The devil takes you so little at a time. He takes you so little at a time till he finally deceives you and you believe that old devil the liar. He's a liar. He's the father of lies. He lies and he lies and he lies, and he's so convincing. You want to make sure. that we are serving the Lord with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, with all our strength. Romans 12 says we are to be fervent in spirit serving the Lord, excited about the Lord. You know, I love evangelism, and I'm hard on people that I think when a person is born again, I believe he's going to want to share Jesus. I do. But when a person is not born again, you know what? He don't want to share Jesus. No. When you're born again and you realize the wonderful grace of Jesus and what he did for us, you know what? You want to tell somebody else. How can you know if you're really born again, folks, when you're on fire for the Lord? When your temperature is hot, okay? They stick that in your mouth and it goes up to 98, 99, 100. And when it goes past 104, it's pretty close. So not that you might not make it, but I want to tell you, folks, be hot for the Lord. Be hot for him. Because if you're halting between two opinions, the devil says that he takes you little by little, and finally you're unsaved and you don't even know it. Well, the question is, can you be unsaved and not, and can you become unsaved and not even know it? I believe that the devil is such a deceiver, yeah, that he can make you believe you're saved. And the Bible teaches many times over and over again that in last days there's going to be a falling away. Not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that what? He that doeth the will of his Father. Obedience. The problem here in Kings is the fact that they weren't obeying the commandments of God. Folks, it's a serious thing. It's very serious not to obey the commandments of God. I lived in a church age where the covering used to, everybody had to wear a covering. Most of the people that I ran around with, my age group, you know what? Most of them do not wear the Christian woman's veil. And they will say that they have no convictions for it. And you know what? I believe them. They are deceived and they don't even know it. Ladies, or anyone here, if you're going to take your veil off, if you're going to take your covering off, okay, if you're going to take it off, don't pretend like the Holy Spirit is leading you. Rather get up on a Sunday morning and say, I'm rebellious, I'm going against God, I shouldn't do this. But that's not what they do. They try to pull their other friends along in. And now, in a lot of Mennonite churches, the veil has totally been dropped. And I'm telling you what, he's going to work you folks over good too on it. You know, when that veiling, you can tell when you get miserable. When you get miserable, they have that little black patch on top of their head. And then that lasts about a year. And then that goes. It's too hard for them to drop it all at once. I just want to encourage you, ladies, and I want to encourage you, fathers and mothers, don't lay aside your veil. Don't see how small a one you can get. Don't think I'm going to wear one that I'm walking on the fence, you know. We have a lot that are walking on the fence, and you can see they're terrible miserable. You may as well take it off, because it's a bad witness. And if you're going to take it off, don't misrepresent God. The commandments. Obey the commandments. Well, they decided we're going to let Baal build his altar, and we're going to let Abraham, we're going to let him build his altar. And is it Abraham? Who? Elijah. I knew it didn't sound right what I was saying. Elijah. So they tried to start the fire over here for Baal. They jumped, they cut themselves, they carried on, and there was no fire. Folks, there's a lot of people that don't have fire today. No fire. I want to light your fire tonight, folks. Without a match, without any kind of fire. But when Elijah went and built his, making a long story short, he goes there and he prays And the fire of the Lord fell from heaven. And they said, now we know. Now we know he's following God. Folks, the world ought to look at us and say, look at us, and say, I know he's a Christian. I know he's a Christian. I came into the airport. Somebody to pick me up last week down in Georgia. And I didn't know the man that was going to pick me up. And there were a number of men standing around there. And I was trying to think, now who looks like a Christian? Who's going to pick me up here? So I started checking hands. Now, I'm not saying that if you wear a wedding band, you go to hell. I'm not saying that, okay? I think it's a substitute for the veil. But I had to find his man. So sure enough, I detected a man with no jewelry. I said, but this got to be him. It's got to be him because about everybody else has it. And sure enough, it was. You know what, folks? Many times I'm out somewhere and I wonder, is he or she a Christian or not? I'd like to say to you guys, you might not like me for this, but I will tell you something. Guys, you might not like me either. You know what? Our sisters, our girls, got to dress weird. That's what they call it in our school. Okay? The question comes up, you know, the girls, they would like to get a Mennonite guy. Those that aren't Mennonite. They really would. They'd like to get a Mennonite guy. And so, what I'm saying is that the girls have to wear these things on their head. They have to wear these weird dresses. They can't wear slacks. And the guys can get away scotch-free without looking separated from the world. In our school, we got all kinds of religions. You name it, we have it. So I get in all these kind of discussions. They will ask to me, well, are you telling us we won't go to hell? That we're going to go to hell if we don't wear a covering? That's what they say to me in Bible class. How would you answer that? I would always answer this. It's not so much where you are, but the direction you are going. And I know one thing. If you obey the commandments of God, like the 1 Corinthians 11, I know that God is going to bless you beyond measure. When you're obedient to the Word of God. Girls, God wants to bless you, and I want to bless you for your separation. Don't be ashamed of it like a bunch of us guys are. Some people think the plain coat is separate. You know, when I wear my coat, and I hate to wear my coat when I'm traveling in a plane because it's so tight. But you know what? You know when I wear my plain suit, you know what? Do you know that I get extra respect? I just do. People will open up, want to talk to me, find out if I'm a priest or what am I. They picked me out of a crowd already on an airplane and put me on first class because of my plain suit. It has its benefits, guys. It has its benefits. But I want to say, our girls have to be separated. You guys can go to the mall and they have no idea that you're a Christian. You know what it makes? It makes for weak, weak men. Now, I'm not saying you guys are going to put on the plain suit, okay? But I believe that we have to have a form of separation, and if it comes out of the heart, and you know the best form of separation is a smile on your face. You know, when you go to some place to get a job, what they do, they count the number of times that you smile. You don't even know they're doing it. But if you don't smile five times in an interview, you don't smile five times in an interview, you won't get hired someplace. Mennonites, folks, we ought to have a little bit larger smile. That the people might ask you, why are you so happy? Why we're happy? Because I'm so happy, you know. Because Jesus took my burdens all away. Folks, we have something to be happy about. Obey the commandments of God. What about Sundays? Is it right to go out to eat? Is it right to fly on a Sunday? Is it right to go to church in the morning and afternoon, go play volleyball, basketball, or football? My son came home when he was a teenager with a broken nose. He fainted anyhow. A broken nose. Okay? And I said, maybe I overreacted. I said, that's it. No more football on Sunday. It even cost me money, you know. But folks, you know what? You ought to love the Lord your God so much. And I'm not saying you can't play volleyball or play baseball out in the meadow somewhere. But, you know, sports is a god of this world. And I struggle with, I have to discipline myself not to get involved. You know, turn the radio on to see if the Phillies are winning or losing. You know. I enjoy basketball. The Bible says that money is the root of all evil. Money is not wrong. Sports is not wrong. Entertainment is not wrong. But folks, it's so easy to go overboard. Obey the commandments of God. Back in the Old Testament, and I know we don't live in the Old Testament, but there, if you were caught picking up stones on the Sabbath day, you were stoned. We become so casual. I believe, folks, when you go to church, especially on a Sunday morning, okay, and then you can question me on our question and answer. I can't wait for that. All right? I believe when you go to church, especially Sunday, I believe you ought to dress up and give it your very best. I really do. That I'm going to show my appreciation for all God done for me. I'm not going to look like I came out of the barn. Although you can worship the Lord in the barn, you can worship the Lord wherever you want to, but I believe that our God we need to give him due respect for all that he's done for us. Folks, obey the commandments of God. Now, when Elijah came and he prayed, it says that the fire of the Lord fell from heaven. And then I'm going to read here just a little bit. The fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood. You know what they did, folks, before this? They dumped water, another bucket of water, and another bucket of water. I mean, that fire, that altar was saturated with water. You know what, folks? There's no amount of water is going to stop Jesus. No amount of water. When the fire fell, it burned up everything at the altar, the stones and everything, the fire of the Lord, folks. And then it says this about them. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, I want to live the life, folks, and people look at me and say, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. I can tell he's a Christian by his life, by his smile, by his dress, by his smell. Some years ago, our school was on a hayride. The Bible says that, you know, we're to be drunk with the Spirit. And when you're drunk with the Spirit, okay, people can tell when you're drunk with the Spirit. Well, this guy, we were on the road, and we're the hay wagon, and the tractor was going to make a left-hand turn. And here comes a drunk man up behind us and hits the back of our trailer, lifts up our trailer, comes back down, not a scratch on a person. Talk about a miracle. He got out of his truck, he was drunk. He got out of his truck, it didn't take me long to find out that he was drunk. He got out of his truck and said, looked up, said, "This is a beautiful evening." Yeah, this is a beautiful evening. I went to his truck and I saw all the beer cans there. Folks, you can tell a drunk man by the way he smells, by the way he walks. You can tell he's drunk. When Ephesians talked about being filled with the Spirit, drunk in the Spirit, folks, every place you go, you ought to be able to represent Jesus Christ. You know what, folks? If you're ashamed of Jesus, if you're ashamed of Jesus at the judgment, he's going to be ashamed of you. It's a serious thing to be ashamed of Jesus. I'm telling you, don't do it, folks. Don't be ashamed. How many of us were guilty already? Yeah. I was guilty already. And I was so disgusted that it went the way it did. I was standing in line one time, and a man in front of me turned around and gave a dirty joke to me. I didn't smile. I didn't crack a smile. But I didn't tell him why I'm not cracking a smile. So many times, folks, the bottom line is we're such weak Christians that we can't do what God wants us to do. We cannot obey the commandment. As I said last night, when God says go, you go. A Christian in our world today, because I said they're getting further and further apart all the time, a Christian is that we're at the point where we cannot unidentify ourselves. Because the world is so evil. Ananias, for some that kept back part. Lot had the same problem. Lot lifted up his eyes. Abraham said to Lot, "Lot, take whatever you want." Lot goes, I could just see if he'd have been here. Lot would come over here to the window and he'd look out. And he'd say, "Yep, this is what I want." Lies laying out there, all the water out there, all the things I can get out there. That's what I want. Lot looks up. He chooses the wrong thing. He chooses the wrong thing. This little boy that you're holding, girl, if I would have brought a tricycle along, okay, and placed it up here, and maybe a little dog coach, and over here, I'd have a $100,000 check, and I'd say to the little one, "Come up here and choose." And she'd choose the tricycle and the little dog coach. And the parent would go, "Oh, no." You know, folks, many times when we're out looking out the window and trying to decide it, and we decide to do the way the world does, and the Lord says, "Oh, no. Oh, no." Let's make sure that we walk close to the Lord so that he can give us the power and the strength to be the person that you want him to be. What we need to do, folks, is we need to focus our eyes on Jesus. The man that I'm talking about this evening, I want to describe again to you. My Jesus, your Jesus, he lived in poverty. He had no wealth or influence. He had no training. You still want to follow him? He had no education. This is your Jesus. This is the one who says, keep looking to Jesus, okay? As a child, he startled the king. This is our Jesus. You want to keep your eye on him. As a childhood, he puzzled his doctors. His manhood changed the course of nature. He raised the dead. My Jesus walked on the sea. He hushed the sea by saying, "Peace, be still." That's my Jesus, folks. Keep your eye on him. He has every tool that you need to walk with him. He hushed the sea. He healed the multitudes with no medicine. That's my Jesus. That's the one I'm telling you to keep your eye on, okay? No medicine bills. No doctor bills. He healed the multitude. He made no charge for the service. You go to a doctor, you pay a high price to die, or to be born, or all in between. But here, no medicine, no charge of service. Jesus never wrote a book, never a song, never wrote a poem, never founded a college, yet no one ever had so many students as Jesus did. My Jesus, folks, he has done so much. And then he says, "Now I want you to follow me. If any man love me," he says, "follow me." And as the people were following him, Jesus turned and he said to them, "If you are ready to give up father, mother, brother, sister for me, I want you to give everything up." What is it, folks, in your life that you are holding the blessing of the Lord from blessing you? I'm telling you, folks, the Lord wants to bless you tremendously. What is it in your life that got you stuck that you can hardly get out of? My Jesus, folks, he never had an army. He never drafted a soldier. And his name was my best friend. His name is Jesus. Jesus done it all for me. 2,000 years, and he's still living. My great Jesus. He is the King. He is our King of Kings, and he's our Lord of Lords, as I mentioned earlier. Herod could not kill him. Satan could not subdue him. Death could not destroy him. The grave could not keep him. Rome could not condemn him. The Pharisees could not silence him. He stands in all the highest pinnacle, adorned by angels, feared by the demons, living in victoriously. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Folks, is it really that tough to follow my Lord? Should we be halting between two opinions? Should we not be giving our lives totally over to the Lord so that he can live for us? And he died for us. How is it that I'm going to be able to have a faith? What kind of faith do you have? An unfeigned faith, a faith without fear. Most of our children here have fears. We have some fear. I have some fears. But he doesn't want us to have any fears. He gives us a faith with power. He gives us a faith with love. It is a saving faith. It is a suffering faith. A faith you need to hold fast to. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So what are we doing? Are we serving the Lord? What is holding you back after such a loving Heavenly Father has done everything he could do? What's holding you back from a deeper surrender to Jesus Christ? He wants us to do that. What is the asking you? What is he asking you to lay aside so that you can be more victorious Christian, producing a whole lot more fruit, reaching out and getting that fruit that's way out there. Let's keep our eyes on Jesus as he lives and he works in our hearts. And as we face them troubled times in our lives, that we have such a wonderful friend like Jesus. Jesus wants to magnify you. He told the children of Israel, he said, when they came there to the Jordan River, he said, I want you to cross the river. The Jordan River was overflowing its banks. The water was rushing. And God tells Joshua to take the children of Israel across the Jordan River. Folks, obedience must be the whole way. If Joshua, when he was going to take them, remember, the banks were overflowing with water, and God says to Joshua, cross this river. Many times he will do that to you and I. There will be a river in front of us, and he'll say to Jay, you cross that river. And I say, I can't do it. The water is too swift. The water is too deep. Jesus says, go and take the ark and go across the river. You know what? There's a lot of people that stop 15 feet from the Jordan River. You know when the Jordan River parted? Not when they were 15 feet away. Not when they were 6 feet away. Not when they were 4 feet away or 2 feet away. It's not till he put his foot into the Jordan. It's when he divided the waters. Folks, God will not bless you until you are willing to stick your foot in the Jordan River. And then he will, if you stop 2 inches before it, if you stop 1 inch before it, if you stop just a quarter of an inch, you've got to put your foot into the water and put your faith in Jesus Christ. But so many times, we just don't quite trust Jesus. We grab the steering wheel. I taught a number of people to drive. And there's times that I had to grab the wheel. And sometimes too often, folks, for Jesus, we have to grab the steering wheel and say, Lord, do you really know what you're doing? Like this house that burned. Like my daughter that died. Lord, where are you? The house is burning. I remember I was rather frustrated at one point till I resigned myself to the Lord that my daughter was going to die. I remember picking up my keys and throwing it across the bedroom and said, Lord, where are you? Can God bless us when we say, Lord, where are you? Well, when Peter was out on the boat and Peter started walking on the water, he was walking on the water, and then he sees the waves around him, and I don't think Peter could swim like me. He looked at the waves around him, and he got fearful. Oh, he got fearful. Whoa! And then Peter went down. Folks, the reason we go down so often, we grab the steering wheel. When Jesus says, come unto me and walk in the water, folks, Jesus might ask you tomorrow to walk in some water. And you say, oh, please, Lord, no. Like I say, he asked me at times, he says, walk in the water. Or get over there and just go believing. Just go. The feeding of the 5,000. You can imagine how the disciples, well, where are we going to get all this to feed the 5,000? With a couple of loaves of bread and a few fish? But Jesus met the need of the multitudes. Jesus wants to meet your need. But if you don't quite trust him, if you're stuck in the mud, if your S10 pickup don't go forward, if you're not moving forward in your Christian life, folks, It's the same as trying to on a bicycle and try and balance it. You know how long you can do it? Not very long. You'll fall over. You've got to keep going. Folks, you've got to keep going. Don't let the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. The devil has no chance. The devil has no power when we go in the name of Jesus, folks. I'm here to tell you that Jesus is all you need. All your problems, all your struggles that you have, everything that stopped, what is it? Whatever it is that stopped you, folks, is sin. Anything that separates you from God is sin. Well, time to close. We're going to give an invitation again this evening. We're living in a state of emergency. Remember that? Remember Hebrews 6 says that we are we're to go on to perfection. When the children of Israel came to the water, not the Jordan River, it was the other one, Jesus said, God told them, Jesus gave them the message, move forward, keep moving forward. Don't stop here at the congregation. No, keep moving forward, okay? Keep moving forward. I just want to encourage you, keep moving forward in your Christian life. Get your Bible out in a new way. You know, I have a wonderful wife. Boy, I love my wife. You talk about her, you're in trouble. All right? I have a wonderful wife. And I love my wife with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. I love her. When I was in 1W service, I'd get a letter from her on about a Thursday. And you know what? I'm ashamed to tell you this, but we used to go home to watch the Three Stooges. I don't know if they're living or alive or where they are. But the day that my letter was coming, you know what? The Three Stooges took second place. And I got that letter from my dear wife, my dear girlfriend. And I read it, and I read it again. I imagined a lot of things. I put a lot of things in. I didn't say, I wish I wouldn't have to read this. Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? That this Bible here spears dead men and makes them alive again. You know, when you love the Lord and you totally submit yourself to Him, you have yet to see what God wants to do with you. He told the children of Israel, I want to magnify you in front of all your enemies. All of Israel, I'm going to magnify you. You know what? The Lord wants to magnify me. The Lord wants to magnify you. He wants to have you have a wonderful, great testimony. But we got to cooperate, folks. We got to cooperate with Him. What the Lord does, folks, He's never a cheat. It's never a cheat. The devil likes to make you believe, oh, that's a cheat, that you can't do this and that and the other thing. Oh, my. The Lord is so wonderful. He done all He could do to make your life a powerful life to serve the Lord Jesus. We're going to bow our heads in prayer, and then we're going to be giving an invitation. And the invitation is going to be...